Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Oh, hi. I'd like to apply for a loan so I can consolidate some of my debts.
Sure. Do you own your home?
Yes. But Carl, our resident ghost, keeps saying it's his house and we should get out.
Okay. But you are the registered owner.
Yes.
Then you're approved.
Hey, hear that, Carl? Huh?
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get approved.
Go to alpinecredits.ca to get started. Some conditions apply.
FSRA license 12616.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, Yo Dog Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan.
Like to start with an apology to JP Barry. Tyler Biggs did not play one game in the NHL.
Yeah, anyway. They were a pretty bad team, though, around that time. I mean, I was kind of with you.
That's not saying a lot for him.
No, it's not. But, like, the idea of him getting floated, like, here's one game just to prove that, you know, we did something. But, yeah, JP's on top of things, man. Like, JP's sharp, running the board. Our boy Nick is doing great work. And
that was Jerry McElroy that actually came up with that. He got on the headset and told me, never won game. ECHL 2 years, AHL 5 years. And then got off the mic. Yeah. I was like, okay, Jerry McElroy.
What a stud.
Now Hockey News can't find that guy now.
No, Tyler I can't Biggs. Imagine he's still playing.
Wow. That's can't tough because he was a very highly touted. I mean, around here, obviously, first rounders, people, you know, get excited about them. But I think I was going to guess, for me, it was Stuart Percy. Wasn't he a high pick?
I can't remember if he was late first round or early second, but around that. Yeah, he was something like
that. That would be a little sniff for that guy, and then
yeah,
I thought
right.
that kid was going to be a player. I saw him in junior a little bit, and I saw he got a sniff, didn't he?
He got like remember the first 6 or 7 games of the season, he was like people were pretty excited about him, and then it just you know
yeah, he had a great camp. He made the roster opening night, and I think played pretty well, and then that was kind of the end of the road. I mean, listen, there's been a long list of those with every team.
Dude,
you know, to
of
be
course.
Fair, with every team. Not just
that's why they call it the best league in the world, hard league, blah, blah, blah. It's really hard to be good and to stick around for a long time, man.
Exactly. Yeah. To stick around, perform, you know, be healthy.
Wow.
And
it's
tough.
First and foremost, we never got to this in the last hour. Chris Letang, like, I just, you know, for him to have a stroke, like, all I
second
can think
one,
about,
Jamie,
like,
I think.
Second one. We had one in, I think,
2014.
Yeah, 2014. I remember seeing him. I was doing an outdoor game with the NHL Network and having a good chat with him. But, like, you know, got to think about your health first before hockey. Like, that's a terrible situation. You know, and Pitt's been climbing their way back into the playoff contention, all of that type of stuff. You lose a, like, he's such a great player, but, like, health-wise, that just...
Yeah, I think it sounds like he you know got lucky because he I read his quotes saying he knows his body. He was born with a condition, a heart condition, I think a hole in his heart, and he suffered a stroke in the past, and that's what happened again earlier this week. But it sounds as if you know like he's living a full life right now. It's just a matter.
It's very simple for me, Hayes. If it's me, I'm asking the doctor, like. Is playing hockey, is there a chance that that could, like, be the end of me? Like, should I quit playing or not? Very direct. Like, tell me what I should do because I want to live another 50 years. So.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I would assume that's likely what's going to happen. But, it's tough. You guys know how, you know, athletes are wired. And
he said, I think one of his quotes was like, I'll be back out there soon. I was like, what the hell is this guy talking about?
But, I mean, if it's something, you know, again, doctors are a lot smarter than us. They're going to sort out. He's going to have the best care. And if they're comfortable for him to return and he's comfortable, that's the other thing, too. He has to be comfortable if he gets a medical clearance to come back and push his body, push himself. Like, that's, you know, it's a scary situation on all fronts.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, we're obviously thinking of Chris Letang. Yeah, you got the Leafs in action tonight, the Raptors in action. You talk about a guy, you know, fighting through all the time. They're in New Orleans playing Zion Williamson, first overall pick, the hype train.
That guy's in the lineup?
Well, I mean, with Zion, yeah, like Zion, he's been relatively healthy and performing, and it's been all good when it comes to Zion. And I haven't seen anything. Maybe Nick and JP can keep us up to date on what the starting lineup is going to be like for the Raptors tonight. Again, I have not been on my normal preparation routine, so I haven't seen anything come out of New Orleans or the Raptors. But I'm tracking that. We'll be tracking it because I'm curious to Scotty Barnes come off the bench again tonight. It did lead to a win. Like they won.
I'd start him though. Like I for some reason you give him the one game and then see if he's like see what he's made. That's a challenge. Like see if he's ready.
Now he might come off about it, Jamie.
Exactly. See how mad he is. But maybe he comes off the bench for another statement. But he has a statement game where Nick goes, I can't have this guy. You know, sitting on the bench to start the game. Like, it's up to Scotty Barnes, and that's clear that, you know, Nick Nurse made that adamant with him and said, you know, you're not starting, but let's see what you can bring to the team.
Yeah, like at some point he's going to get back in there, of course, yeah. But, you know, you do it, and it works for you, and in the end, Nurse has wanted to change up the starting rotation for quite some time. Like, that has been something he's been actively seeking out. He just didn't know when to pull the trigger on it. And I think the injuries allowed him to do it, and it worked. You know, I think he would be very impressed with his team's effort the other night. So I wouldn't be shocked if you saw a similar starting five tonight and if Barnes was coming off the bench. But we'll track that. We'll get into it a little bit later this afternoon. Joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's longtime NHLer. You see him on the NHL on TNT, former Leaf, our good buddy Eddie Olchuk. How you doing, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Nice to be with you. Thanks for having me. Hope you're all well.
Yeah, we're doing well. We're doing well. We're watching the, I guess, history possibly go down tonight. Are you tracking your own records, 18 straight games to the point back in the 80s or what?
Yeah, don't have many records. So, you know, the one you have, you kind of live off of for a long time. And I think all this has done selfishly, it's reassured me that I can tell my kids, see, I did play in the NHL a long time ago. So, you know, and I had a nice little run back in the late 80s in Toronto. But it's always fun. I mean, you know, look at first off to share the record with, you know, obviously a legend and. Not only the National Hockey League, but, you know, in Toronto with the Leafs and Daryl Sittler and, you know, to have shared it for, you know, 33 plus years or whatever it is, it's really special. And, you know, I just always take great notice. And anytime a Leaf player goes on a nice little heater here and wonder if they can get up to that 18 game plateau. And obviously Mitch has that chance tonight against San Jose. So yeah, it's nice to reminisce and talk and people just, you know, coming out of the woodworks and reminding me. And, you know, my streak stopped against the New York Islanders. Glenn Healy was the goalie that night for the Isles, and Heels, we became teammates a couple of years later. And you know, there's not a conversation that doesn't go by where, you know, he reminds me that he stopped the streak. And you know, and he takes great credit for it. And, you know, so it is fun, but records are meant to be broken. And we'll see if Mitch can get to number 18 and go from there. But, you know, probably more importantly for the Leafs and the fan base is that he's being a real important part of the contributions and doing what he's supposed to do. But the Leafs are playing pretty damn well and finding ways to win with a broken down defense with all the injuries that they've had. So it's been fun to watch for sure.
Eddie, can you take us back to you getting to that point when you were creeping up? I mean, with social media, this streak and the way the games are televised, it's talked about in every pregame show. It's tweeted out five times a day when it gets to the 12-game mark. What was it like in the 80s when you were doing it? Was it kind of low-key, or was you asked about it once every couple games, or what?
Yeah, no, I mean, it once we started getting into that, you know, 13, 14, 15 number, that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, people, you know, articles were in the, you know, in the Star and the Sun and the Globe and Mail. And, you know, that's when people were pretty much only reading newspapers and getting their information that way or watching, watching television. But, You know, look, at that time, there was, you know, there was some conversation about it. And look, I knew obviously who Daryl Sittler was. I mean, I when I was a kid growing up in Chicago, I mean, I could tell you pretty much, you know, most every player that had played in the National Hockey League, which way they shot, you know, where they played, and you know, just that's what I live for. I mean, and I knew that. And obviously, Daryl Sittler, it's not hard to know who Daryl was, obviously, with the 10-point game and, you know, everything and being a captain of the Leafs. But, you know, when I went to Toronto and all of a sudden you're around guys like, you know, Johnny Bauer and George Armstrong and Daryl Sittler, and you see Landy McDonald come in and out every once in a while. And obviously, Borya was there when I got there, and, you know, he had been there forever. So, but yeah, there was, you know, there was some attention to it for sure. And then, you know, once we started getting really close there, old dog, then all of a sudden, you know, then it became, you know, kind of the fabric of every game, and, you know, playing on a line with Mark Osborne and Gary Lehman. And that was the year that Gary Lehman scored 50 goals. So we, you know, we had a heck of a year as a line and individually, but, you know, those guys start, you know, forcing, and, you know, maybe I might have been the third or fourth best option, but they were, you know, they were going to bypass the first three or four just to make sure that they got the puck to me and try to, you know, elongate the streak. So, yeah, there was a tension, but obviously I'm in the world where, you know, today, I mean, it's instantaneous and, you know, graphics going up here and there. And, you know, look, at I think it's always very important. I don't care what era. And again, I think today's player is much different than in our era. Noodles and old dog, right? Like, I think today's player is much different. Like, do a lot of players now, and there are some that are really historians and really know, you know, guys and the type of players they were, regardless if they were born or not. Look, I mean, Mitch Marner was not born when I was playing, obviously, and Daryl Sittler, but, you know, you'd like to think that whether it's, you know, agents or representation or family, be able to, you know, explain them, like, who these guys were and, you know, what type of players they were. And, you know, I have a soft spot for, obviously, for Mitch because he wears the number 16 as I did for the years that I was in Toronto. So, but I think it's great anytime that you can, you know, be a part of history or, you know, have a chance at tying a record or being a part of it and share it with a guy like Daryl Sittler. That's pretty salty stuff and something that I'm very proud of. And here's to Mitch getting number 18 and then moving on and getting 19 and beyond. So it'll be a lot of fun. I'm actually in Chicago tonight. I got on TNT. I got the Blackhawks and Oilers tonight. So we got a late puck drop here. So I'll get a pretty good opportunity to watch the game tonight. And I'm sure there'll be a lot of emotion, but it's been great to go down memory lane. That's for sure.
Eddie, just before we get to the rest of the league, I just, you know, a follow up on that is, were your teammates well aware of it? Like, does it get to a point where you're, you know, you're out there and they're trying to feed you the puck? Like, that's the one thing I'm trying to think about tonight with Mitch is if he gets an opportunity or somebody gets a look for him, certainly I would think the guys would be aware to try and help him out.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it was. And, you know, what I alluded to a little bit earlier, it's just like, you know, I might have been the, you know, if you want to use the term in football, the check down, right? I might have been the fourth best option. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, we're going to bypass the three best ones, and we're just going to try to force the puck so that at least I could touch it, you know, and be able to make a, you know, make an offensive play. Like, I remember the game when it stopped. I mean, we had a boatload of chances. I mean, Gary Lehman had a couple of posts. I had a great chance early in the game. You know, look at it. It just wasn't meant to be, right? And somebody, you know, sent me a little note here. I went on a six-game streak right after that. In the first two games after the streak stopped, I had 7 points. I had a 4-pointer against Calgary and had a 3-pointer against St. Louis. So, you know, it's just like you think about it and you just go, geez, can I just not save one of those for the Islanders and beat Glenn Healy most importantly, because that's probably the thing that probably bugs me the most is that Heels is the guy that stopped the streak. But there's no doubt. I mean, your line mates and your teammates, like I said, I mean, playing with Mark Osborne and Gary Lehman, I mean, that was two unbelievable teammates, and we had just great chemistry. And just, you know, for one night, we just, you know, we had chances, Noodles, but we just couldn't, you know, we just couldn't put the puck in the back of the net. So, yeah, they do look for you. And, you know, when you got a chance at, you know, making some history, you know, most guys are going to, you know, go out of their way. And whether it's the right play or not, they, you know, they certainly want to see if, you know, you do well individually. And if you do it well individually and your guy's supposed to score, pretty good chance you're going to, you know, you're going to have a good chance at winning the game as well.
With Eddie Olchuk, speaking of records, we were joking about this earlier, Eddie. Anytime Gretzky comes off the top of the board, it's a shock. And Ovechkin passed him for road goals in his career. It's honestly amazing. Like 20, the old, if I had told you 20 years ago, there's no one would ever believe anyone would pass Gretzky in anything. And he's still rolling. It's not like that was his last goal and he's retiring after last night. I mean, how do you put this into perspective, what Ovechkin continues to do?
It's blank and amazing. I mean, it really is. Like, I'm going to get a chance to see Ovi tomorrow night. I'm flying to Seattle tomorrow. I got the Kraken and the Capitals tomorrow. That game's got a chance to be 11 and 9 the way things are going for the Kraken and the Capitals here, recently. But, Brian, I think I've said this publicly, and you know, all due respect, whether you guys have heard it or not, like the one thing that I've really appreciated with Ovi, and I think it's helped him immensely, is that within the last 5 years, I think he has been more selective on his physical confrontation in the games. You know, he's being more selective on the contact, right? I think he's been able to save and conserve energy. Now, look, he still runs guys in the end boards. He had two unbelievable big hits in a game against Pittsburgh a couple of weeks ago when they were down, you know, 2 or 3 goals. But, you know, he still has that ability. But I think what has helped him is that he's bypassed some contact. Because for the longest time, I mean, he was doing everything. The physical play, the scoring of the goals. And I think he just realized, and having talked to Scotty O'Neill, one of his former assistant coaches, and then when Barry Trotz was there, it's just, I think that he is obviously matured and understood, like, you know, that takes its toll. So I think over the course, again, this is just for me doing a lot of games, a lot of Capital games, and rightfully so because they've been such a good team the 4 and 5 years. Again, that's just my estimation. Is I think it's helped him. It's kept him healthy. He stayed away from injury. It gives him a little bit more juice and energy, and has allowed him to just continue to do as well as we've seen any player in the last, maybe since Gretz, you know, where the guy just goes out there and he's a threat every night. He can score a lot of different ways. And everybody wants to talk about his, you know, area of the ice on the power play. But, you know, when you start getting up into that rare air, when you're talking about Gordie Howe and Wayne Gretzky and, you know, breaking a record on the road as far as goal scoring, it's just been unbelievable. And look, like, I think, like, when he gets by 800, like this is something, like, we have to celebrate, like, as a league, as fans, as media, as, like, do you realize where in hell this guy is on his way to? Like, does anybody, like, let's really take a step back and just, let's just spell it out in layman's terms and as easy and as cleanly as we can. Like, this guy is approaching an unbelievable number that I think all of us are just like, nah, that's never going to happen. Now, in saying that, and all due respect to Alexander Ovechkin and obviously Gordie Howe, like, I really believe is that if Wayne Gretzky wanted to score 1,000 goals, like, if Gretz wanted to score more goals when he played, he probably could have scored 300 more goals. I believe that. I really do. Like, if he wanted to, he could have scored more goals. But, you know, he's such, an unbelievable facilitator and distributor, you know, the assist and everything else. So, look, at that number, I'd like to find somebody that, you know, wrote an article, you know, 20 years ago or whenever it was and said, you know, yeah, somebody's going to break that record. And we know what records are meant to be broken. We understand that. But what he's done has just been, I stand up and applaud. I mean, I do. It's just, it's unbelievable. And I just hope we really, really celebrate and enjoy the journey for him to see if he can stay healthy and get to within a handshake of Wayne Gretzky and really just applaud him for what he's been able to do. And it's been really incredible.
It's funny to say that, Eddie, because I'm getting flashbacks of, I think the Quizmaster here at TSN having arguments with him about Gretzky's greatness as a goal scorer and this belief that Bossy's better, Lemieux's better, Hall might be better, Ovi might be better. I've never understood that. Like, it's not just about when the stick hits the puck. It's like everything that goes on before that. Like Gretzky, you just said on live radio and TV, you think he could have had 300 more goals. Like, I don't think he gets enough. How is he not the greatest goal scorer ever? Gretzky? Yeah. Like how?
I believe it. I really in my heart believe it is that he was obviously that awesome, but he was in situations, you know, hundreds of times where he probably could have been selfish and said, you know what? I'm gonna get three or four tonight. And in the goal scoring column, but instead he gets 2 and 5 or, you know, 1 and 4 or whatever. Now, again, I know, you know, schematically and all that kind of stuff, but I just believe is that like if he just had that, that, you know, the gene of dominance, obviously in greatness, it speaks for itself, but you know, to just think about that and think about how long that he played and then just sit there and go, well, you know what, maybe if he would have bypassed, you know, making those plays every once in a while and those passes, think about adding in, you know, maybe 12 or 15 every year or whatever it is. Like, I do believe that. Like, I think he could have probably scored 25 more goals every year for the duration of his career. And then you do the math and you sit there and go, all right, that's one thing that, you know, that's, and I know never is a long time. I realize that, but you'd sit there and go 1,000 goals. Like, you know how
Eddie,
long
you
and
know
how
it's
great
ridiculous.
You have to be.
You know, it's ridiculous. I just pulled up his HockeyDB, and I was looking at the points column, and I couldn't find the 200, and I thought Wayne Gretzky got 200 points multiple times. I was in the wrong category. I was in assists, and there was still like 130, 120, 115, 150. I was like, this is outrageous.
Oh, Doug, what did he do? Did he have 212? Was that his best?
Yeah, 212.
Yeah, one, he had 3 year stretch where he went 205, 208, 215 in the NHL.
I'd like to say back in the late 80s for the Leafs when I used to weigh in, I was in that number. I was in that range. That's all.
Well, listen, as you said, if you were in that Seattle LA game last night, I mean, anyone could be racking up Gretzky like points. Like, what a scene.
I was actually at home and I was watching it and I was sitting there going, it's 3-3 after two, and I'm sitting there going, you know what? Like, this game really does have a game. It has a chance to be like 7-6, 8-7. Like, that was my initial thought. And then it's 8-6 after 40 minutes. And now you're like, now you're scrolling the, you know, I'm, you know, old school, the Webster's Dictionary. You know, I'm not on the World Wide Web. I'm sitting there going, when's the last time you saw 20 goals in a game? You know, this it had that feeling. It could have been, you know, it could have been 11-10 or whatever, but, really interesting. And then I don't know, I just saw this, and you guys might have more info. Did I just see that LA put Cal Peterson on waivers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Again.
Today.
What a
today.
Message. It's like a kicker who missed a big field goal.
Wow. Well, he came in after, what, 6 or 7?
Yeah. I think it was 5 he came in.
Oh,
because
was it 5? Okay.
It was the McCann goal that went 5 hole on quick, and then they had enough. And then LA scored right away to tie up the game. And then if you look, I mean, Eddie, you were watching the game. I was watching it too. Like, Peterson, you know, it wasn't good. And he hasn't had a great start to the season. You know, and talking to people in L.A. there's been a lot of inconsistency. Like, Jonathan Quick, this is his last year of his deal. And Peterson was supposed to push through and take over.
Sure. The Noodles, there was a chart, though. His save percentage, his numbers year by year since 2018 are going down and down and down. Every year, so there's got to be some concern there.
Yeah, well, Peterson he's not the answer there. That's the unfortunate part, and he's got first year of a 3-year deal at $5 million a year.
Crazy. So. Eddie's right, a Kraken right. for real?
They are. I believe that. I mean, I was on with you guys, I think, earlier in the year, and I think I mentioned to you guys, like, the one thing that they will be able to do is that they're going to have the puck a lot more, and they're going to be able to outscore some of their deficiencies, and it just happens the next time I'm on with you guys that they, you know, they put up a 9 spot and they, you know, and they win the game in LA last night. So, you know, look at, like, Noodles, this would be interesting. I got to look this up before I get to Seattle, but I think Martin Jones, his last 3 games that he's played, he's given up 8, 5, and 4. And he's won all 3. He's won all 3 games because they've been able to outscore at the end of the day. Now they got Grubauer back, which has obviously been, you know, very large. And you know, what's interesting is this trip started in Vegas, and they absolutely. Now again, Vegas, you know, just kind of had a couple of tough games there where they weren't playing good, but they really shut down Vegas and they gave up really not a lot. And then they went to Anaheim, and then, you know, a little loosey-goosey there, and I think they, you know, 6-5 might have been the final or whatever, and then obviously the game in L.A. last night. So they have the puck a lot more than they did last year, and we all know that's the best defense in the world. Now, you know, they got to get back to playing, obviously, way better. I mean, you play against a really good team like that. I mean, you know, you probably could have lost that game easily 13 or 14 to 10 last night. I mean, if you're playing against a really good team. So, yeah, look at, like, the numbers tell you is that, yes, they can sustain what they're doing. Now, the last couple of games, I know you're not going to win a lot. You're not going to win any games if you give up 8. I understand that. But when you look at the totality of 22 games, like, they won 10 games in the month of November. And the one game that they lost was the game where they had the lead late and Carson Soucy went sideways and punched Pierre-Luc Dubois in the back of the head when they had a 2-1 lead late in the game. They gave up the tire and eventually lost in overtime. So, I mean, you talk about a hell of a month. They easily should have won 11 games in a month of November. I know it's not the New Jersey Devils, but 11 games in any month is pretty damn good. So I do believe that that they've given themselves a chance to make a hell of a run here and play really important games come March, O-Dog.
Yeah, it's a big story in the NHL for sure right now. Enjoy it back in Chicago. Eddie, we'll do it again soon, buddy. We always appreciate you taking time for us.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate the time. Always great being on with you, and keep up the great work. I always enjoy catching on you guys when I'm traveling, and I'm looking forward to getting to Toronto. I'm actually going to be in TO, I think three times in about 12 days there in January, so hopefully our paths will cross at some point. If
Absolutely.
We don't talk, have a great holiday as well.
All right, buddy, you too. There he is, our good friend Eddie Olchuk, former NHLer, longtime Leaf. He's in the record books with the Leafs. He and Daryl Sittler, 18 straight games with a point. Mitch Marner going for 18 tonight. And Eddie joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. So, yeah, listen, Seattle, they're legit, man. We haven't talked about Tkachuk returning, too. You talk about the West Coast. That Calgary team, they showed up. Bobrovsky was awful, man. His stats are brutal.
Felt bad for him. I had I had a bad analogy, but it was funny today. The fourth goal, I don't know if you saw Brett Ritchie's goal from, like, the goal line. I said it was like the puck was on fire and he didn't want to get burned. Like, he was literally, like, it rolled to him and he rolled out of the way to guide it into the net. Like, it was
talking about Cal Peterson
crazy.
Making 5. Imagine paying a guy 10 to play dodgeball. Outrageous.
They got to get his game back.
They got $50 million more left.
They got a lot of money invested, a lot of years, and they got that Knight kid who they've paid
he's
as
good.
Well. Like,
he's good. But the problem is he's 21.
Exactly.
You know what it is? I said this to Steph last night. I think they were hoping this was going to be a Bishop Vasilevsky situation when Knight's ready to push out. But the problem is that Bobrovsky's not playing well enough. He played well last year. Just he's been really poor this year. So he's got
to
be a lot better.
What's Steph have to say in return to that?
She was asleep. I didn't even realize that she was.
I always wonder when you say, I told Steph last night, and you're talking about a goaltender transaction of one guy going in. And I'm thinking, what would she say back to him about that?
She was asleep. I didn't realize she was asleep. I was talking to myself, basically.
Those are the best. She's like, yeah, I really don't care. Thanks so much. Turn your light
exactly.
off. Yeah, so. Exactly. yeah, You're right, though. I mean, that wasn't a great homecoming for Tkachuk. They were all over him, and the team lost, and Florida continues to take
struggle.
L's. Yeah, they do. All right, Jerry's percentage is coming up. Darren Dreger still to come. Paul Dolan on Canada-Morocco tomorrow. We got some Jerry Jones audio that may remind us of a scenario we went through years ago here on this show. We'll tell you about that. We'll get into it. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
I don't love being commissioner as much as I used to. I actually love it even more.
That's the voice of a
Hall of Famer.
Are you kidding? Have you been out drinking?
Jerry! You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
All right, Jerry's percentages. We know the way this works. We've caught up with Jerry for years now, and there are times he joins us. He's in a good mood, times he's in a bad mood. We never know what we're going to get with Jerry, right? And I guess he's been changing up the way he does business. He's got some things to say, but he just wants to get to the takes. So you guys ready to hear from Jerry and get this thing going?
Ready to rock.
Glad to see Hazy D, as in Anthony Davis Hayes, got better for the show today. Because Jerry's got hot takes. Let's go. Donnie Baseball was Jerry's favorite ball player and doppelganger when he had the marvelous stash. Well, I'm calling it right here, right now. Donnie Mattingly will be the manager of the Jays someday. And Jerry will personally fly to Toronto and go out with Donnie Baseball and take it deep into the night like we did in New York.
Wow. Okay.
Jerry and Donnie Baseball on the town.
I don't see the resemblance there. A doppelganger, Donnie Baseball with the stash?
He had to throw in with the stash, which is insinuating that Jerry in his like late 20s had like a handlebar mustache cruising around university.
Right. Like Donnie Baseball, that's the coolest nickname. And
dude,
he was a cool dude.
There's some
in New York,
stories.
Man.
There are some Wade Boggs. 100 beers on an airplane type stories when your name is Donnie Baseball.
Has to be.
Studio 64 type of thing. There are some legendary athletes. I would think Donnie Baseball has to be one.
Oh, yeah. Like when I thought of growing up, like for me, that was when I thought of the Yankees, it was Mattingly. Like that was the guy. All right. So Jerry's saying that at some point, Donnie Baseball will be running the show up here in Toronto.
I'm going to say 70%. This guy, I honestly can't say that I can get inside of the mind in someone in that position in sports, Brian, but you kind of take it with the idea that maybe something pops up in a couple years and you're going to be the guy. I don't know. I don't think you take that role accepting like you're supporting a younger manager or skip. I'm going to say 70%.
I agree with it. I'm not going to go as high. I'm going to say 58%. But there has to be maybe somewhere along the line, like the little wink-wink handshake deal as to, like, things go south, you know you're taking over type of thing. And I don't want Schneider to be a guy that's just sitting there waiting for his job to be taken. But I just, if they have a slow start or something doesn't go right early on, I feel like, you know, his replacement's right there.
I didn't think that's too
so
heavy,
negative.
Man.
You think it's too negative?
Listen, they just gave Schneider the job.
Hey,
right?
I'm a big believer in the mental aspect of it. How can you give 110%? It's like JP Barry behind the glass. If he was told, if Hayes has a hiccup, you're in, and JP Barry's running the show, don't you think JP Barry might just kind of like, not sabotage you, but like he wouldn't care if you were like guard.
I don't think JP would do that. I mean, JP's
no, but I'm saying, how do you give 100% when you don't want the position that you've been like? You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
and
who,
there's
like,
something.
Listen, who knows if Mattingly? This is a job he's. I don't know if he's ever dreamt of being with the Blue Jays. I mean, I'm not going to go that far, but it's a job that came available to him. Maybe they sold him on something that made sense to him. Maybe he's got a little bit more power than you would expect in that position anyway. He's not a young guy. You know, he's into his 60s now. And, like, Schneider's a guy, he's built through the organization. Mattingly is truly an outsider coming in. I think there's a lot of value in that. Like, he is not associated with this team. Schneider, all he's known is the Jays. He's known them his whole life, effectively. And yeah. I'm going to say 20%. Like, there's obviously a chance because literally we just saw it. Like, yes. You know, Schneider was the bench coach for Montoya, and when it went kind of south for Montoya, there was Schneider. And, you know, Mattingly gets in there, obviously, if they like him, if he's got rapport with the players, if something's going wrong with Schneider. But it's not going to be this year. 0% chance this year. You know, it's if for whatever reason something went south or there were more hiccups in the playoffs, you got a big lead, and I don't know, there was some sort of disagreement between him and Mattingly on how you might handle it. You also got to remember, this is a management group. They don't want a guy with a lot of power. You know, the way baseball works now, the manager effectively is told a lot of times what the lineup's going to look like, who you're going to play, how you're going to shift, you know, when you're going to use certain people. And I don't know, Mattingly's pretty old school. Like, is he going to sit there and take his P's and Q's from Atkins and Shapiro? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's a balancing act. So I'm low. I'm 20% because anything's possible, but I don't think so. I think Schneider's a pretty good manager. I think he's young. Yeah. He's raw. But I think, you know, this could work out and be beneficial for both parties. What else you got, Jerry?
Jerry hates to admit this, but the Winnipeg Jets will finish top two in the Central Division. Winnipeg is Jerry's favorite city in Canada, FYI.
Interesting. What a win by Winnipeg last night. What a win. They crushed Colorado.
That's exactly what they needed. Everything fresh, everything just kind of don't panic and just roll it back and let's get this thing cooking, and it's working.
Wow.
Full credit to them. I mean, Hellebuck's been unreal. Have you seen Josh Morrissey's numbers?
No. His name is Norrissey.
It's Josh crazy Norrissey. What he's doing. Yeah, you're right, Noodles. He's leading. He's got 25 points or something.
He's leading
points.
The team with points. He had back-to-back OT winners. And, you know, two things are coming out of Winnipeg that I kind of enjoyed. Like, I had Rick Bowness. Everyone, I think, who played in the NHL had Rick Bowness at some point because he's, you know, been around for 3,000 games. But Rick Bowness is a really positive guy. He's intense, and he expects, he's honest. But I just, there's a couple things that I've pointed out. Like, I thought his comments about Blake Wheeler, like, took the captaincy away from this guy, and all he's done is been a really good role model and a good player, like, worried about himself.
Yeah, full credit to him.
And that's tough to do, to walk back in that room. And I think Wheeler's done a good job. The other thing is apparently Bonus sat down with Josh Morrissey. He was like, I want you to be one of the top D-men in this league. Like, you need to be in the play. You need to be more active. Like, and it sounds like Morrissey's taking that to heart. He's been
really good.
So
I guess.
Top two
in the Central. Right now, Dallas is in the lead, and obviously Colorado right there, too.
Oof. I'm going to say, I'll give it 51%. I think they've had a good, you know, it really, be for me, it's between them and Dallas, because I think Colorado, once they get healthy, they'll roll back up there. But
I agree.
I think it's between them and Dallas, and, you know, Dallas is a good team, too.
Dallas has been playing well.
I'm going to say 70%. I think Hellebuck, if he cranks it up in the second half, he's got three
kind of goaltender.
Yeah, his numbers right now, he might, like, is he a Vezina favorite as of right now?
He'd be one of the minus Allmark in Boston. It probably has to be
right.
One Sorkin and with the Islanders. Yeah, like, there's a hand. There's five or six guys that are having great seasons, and Hellebuck has to be, I would say, number one right now.
He's been phenomenal. That Perfetti kid's been really good, too. He made a play last night on that Wheeler goal that was outstanding.
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, Scheifele's been relatively quiet, but about a point a game. Dubois's been pretty good. Like, Ehlers is effectively done for the year. Kyle Connor's, like, the most underrated, non-talked-about, just stud 40-goal scorer, and he's doing it again. Yeah, I'm gonna say 60%. I got to give him full credit. Like, what Rick Bowness is doing here too. Like, this is checks all the boxes for a Jack Adams too, right? Like, you take the team that bottomed out, you do some drastic things, you turn it around. You're a great guy. Everything's working out, and that's exactly what's happening. And I doubted it a lot. I really did. I thought it was tumultuous.
I thought it was doomed, dude.
Yeah, well, I thought it was gloom and doom, and it was going to get nasty, and they've done a great job of making sure that didn't happen.
The other thing, too, is this was a message from management going, okay, the coach has been changed. We took the captaincy away. Like, next thing is breaking up this core, moving guys out, doing whatever is next here, because if this doesn't work, they missed the playoffs last year. So I think the message was
well received. But I'm shocked
that
worked, too, Jamie, because I don't think that's even a threat to guys anymore. I think sometimes the attitude is, I don't care. I'll go play somewhere else.
Well, you know what?
Well, I got no trade. Actually, I'm not going anywhere.
I actually,
if I want to go live in Southern California or something, okay, I'll do that. It's not a threat. I don't know.
Well, good on them. You know what? Good on them. I think it shows that a lot of those players have pride, and they were pissed off and embarrassed about their year last year.
They've had a great start.
Exactly.
Great start, Winnipeg. Go ahead, Jerry.
Scotty Barnes will come off the bench at least five more times this season. Jerry came off the bench in grade school and suckered the coach right in the face.
Okay. That seems harsh, but...
He was pissed. Jerry was a starter and came off the bench with his mustache.
I get, with Don... I'm looking at Don Mattingly mustache pictures right now. This thing, it's maybe the greatest mustache of all time.
Dude, he's Donnie Baseball, man.
Yeah.
Mel Bridgman. Him and Mel Bridgman have the greatest stash.
But it looks like he has somewhere between 15 and 30 million whiskers. Like, this thing is so thick. It's so perfect. It's such a perfect stash back in the day. But Barnes coming off the bench five or more times the rest of the way. I'll go first. I'm going low on this. I'll say 10%. I think there's a chance, because if he doesn't get the message, I think Nick Nurse will keep poking and prodding, right? And if Nurse is fully committed to thinking that things should change, Siakam's not coming off the bench, Van Vliet's not, and the way Ananobi's playing, he's not. So guess what? You're the kid, right? Like, we all love Scotty Barnes. You've been in the league for a year and a half.
I'm going to
come off the bench. You come off the bench.
I'm going to say 40%. I'm going to up it a little bit just because of what you described a couple weeks ago, Hayes, and you described it as a 27 to 29-year-old league. And there's a chance this kid, it might just not sink in, and he's still young, and he's got to come off the bench a little bit. And Nick Nurse is not afraid to put his foot on the gas as far as a message. It's not like he's going to lay off and say, okay, I gave you a bit of a message there. Yeah. I'm going to lay off it a little bit. He will stick on it.
Yep. I think you're right. We know that about Nick Nurse.
Yeah, I'm a little bit lower. I'm 28%, but I think the messages have to continue with the team that you're still trying to push to that next level, and Barnes is a young guy. I think he gets it, though. I'm telling you. I really loved his comments yesterday. Like, I really
He handled it well. Like,
I thought he did. I really did.
Yeah, like, he should be disappointed. He wasn't happy. Everyone knows it. But he didn't sue anyone. He didn't say anything stupid, or
exactly.
It was just, okay, hey, we got to win. Let's move on. See what happens in New Orleans. Why don't we come back with a couple more, and we'll save some for After Dark as well. We've got Darren Dreger still to come. Canada, Morocco tomorrow. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Darren Dreger will join us in about 15 minutes. We'll get into Canada, Morocco as well in the next hour. We've got to find time for this Jerry Jones audio, too.
Oh, boy, what is he up to?
Well, it's nothing in particular in terms of what he's actually saying. It's what happens to him when he's on the radio. So we'll play it. We got our own clip that we can play. We can kind of do a compare and contrast. But we got a couple more Jerrys here. You guys want to keep filtering through?
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's hear what else Jerry has.
The Maple Leafs will have three players that score 40 or more goals this season.
No. Well, that's bold. That's bold.
Dude, that's 0%.
0%.
In this day and age, you think you're going to have 340 goal scorers on one team? What the hell do you think this is, the 85 Oilers, Jerry?
The Flames did it last year. The Flames did it last year. The Tampa Bay Lightning did it, I want to say, 4 or 5 years ago. It has recently.
So chances would be Matthews, Tavares, Nylander?
Yeah. Well, as of now, Willie's on pace for over 40. Tavares is on pace for over 40. Matthews, I don't think technically is on pace for that, but I think we all expect that he'll hit 40. Yeah, I wouldn't sell Marner short on like getting hot and scoring a bunch of goals.
Yeah,
but I don't think he gets 40.
Though. It's not happening. You get to Christmas, and then after that, the screws tighten up a little bit as far as play and kind of crunch time and space available. It's not happening. Sorry.
I'm not going to rule it out.
Right.
I mean, things are, the Leafs are they're regular season.
Calgary literally did it last year.
Dude, I get it, and I feel bad that I'm kind of being like a Debbie Downer.
No.
The likelihood of this happening, I do not see it being very likely. 0% likely.
0%, okay.
I'm going to leave the door open. I'll say 12%.
Wow, what a door that is.
12%.
Well, listen, it's not... Like, it's you have to be realistic. Like,
it is, but...
The guys have to have career seasons. Like, William Nylander has to have a career season. John Tavares has to get back to... If he plays with Mitch Marner, he's probably going to get 40. Like, he might get 40. But I don't know. Marner might go back with Matthews. Marner might get...
Marner hits 40 goals. He's got seven right now.
I think he's more of a passer. He's a pass-first type of guy, even though he can score. It's a hard number to do. But I don't want to rule it out. What did I say, 18%?
I thought you said 12%.
Okay, sorry. I'll give it 18.
There you go.
I'll give it 18.
Found 6%. I like it.
Found 6% through my own reasoning.
I think Matthews is getting there. I think we all expect. Right. We're all assuming healthy, of course. He's getting 40.
Yeah.
I think one of Nylander or Tavares is going to get to 40. I do. Because, like, Willie's playing unbelievably well. Again, I keep referencing Calgary. Now, those were three great players. But they had career years, too. That happens. And, you know,
40's a number, man. You better get 20-plus by Christmas. And
well,
then you got to keep it trucking.
He's at 13
right now.
I'm not
just saying that because I've done it.
Yeah, Willie's at 13 right now. So, and Tavares has done 40 before. But I'm going to say 35%. Like, I'm in the minority for sure. I don't think it's likely. I wouldn't necessarily put money on it. But these three guys, they play every night. They play a ton. The power play's cooking. They're healthy. They're in their primes.
Is Willie ahead of where he – like, he's a point-per-game guy. Doesn't he have 25 points in 24?
He's got 25 points in 24 games. He's got 13 goals.
Didn't he have that last year?
About that, yeah. Yeah, I think he finished with 83 or something, 82 points.
Yeah, like I thought he's pretty much on the same, but he's just on the same
trajectory
as
he was last
year.
He's scoring more goals is what he's doing. Yeah, he's scoring more goals.
Right.
But yeah, in terms of being a point-per-game guy, that's Willie proved that last year during the season.
Yeah.
It's just, can the goal scoring continue? But
yeah.
All right. We got one more for After Dark. We'll get to Jerry's After Dark in about an hour. Jerry Jones was doing a radio interview recently down in Dallas. We'll let you hear that. Dreg's coming up. Paul Dolan coming up on Canada-Morocco. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.